You're listening to Tassie Encounters Moments on Faith FM, and we're coming to you from Tasmania, right across Australia. Each weekday on Tassie Encounters, you can hear what the Bible says about past, current, and future events. You can learn how to study the Bible more effectively. You can get to know who God is, why we're here, and where we're going. And you can experience personal encounters with Jesus. I'm your host, Jason Cook, and David Leo's back in the studio with us, including with his iPad that decided to make a noise.
Yeah, sorry about that.
I think he's got it under control now. So. Welcome, David.
Yep, thank you.
And along with your iPad.
Thank you. iPad says thank you. Siri, I think.
Yeah. Siri's talking to us. We've been looking at this topic this week, grace, law, freedom, God's character. And we've been looking at some historical figures, some of the beliefs that they put forward. Mm-hmm. And today we're moving further into that, or into, I guess, a bit later in time. Is that right?
Yeah, these guys like 1,000 years, like 1,000 years later.
These guys came much later. And we've titled today's topic, Chosen, Invited, or Both. Mm-hmm. And we're looking at Arminianism and Calvinism. I hope people aren't put off by the names. I mean, these are based on
terms.
These are based on people's actual names.
Yeah.
So John Calvin, and who was
Jacob Arminian?
Arminian. So
not it's not the Arminians we're talking about. It's a name. Arminian.
It's a name. Yeah.
Yeah.
So they put forward different ideas of the way that salvation works. The way grace works.
That's right.
And we're going to dig into that a little bit today.
Yeah, so just to give a summary to those who might be tuning in for the first time, on Monday we talked about this idea of free will versus determinism, or free will meaning we have the ability to choose, and determinism meaning that everything's been done for us already, chosen for us. There's nothing, we just float along, and everything that happened to us, the jobs we got, the people that we meet, it was all planned, right? And we're looking at why is that important when it comes to a relationship with God? And, you know, like, especially when it comes to, is God's grace the most important thing, or is it God's law who holds us accountable? Is there a balance? You know, so we're asking that question, and it means a lot because the way that we picture God really dictates, what's a strong word, isn't it? Or really, what's the word?
Determines.
There's another strong word for what we're talking about. It really determines the way we carry out, our lives, the way we interact, not only with our
effects.
Yes. Yes. Influences.
Influences.
Right. It influences and affects and determines, and all those fancy words, the way that we deal with people in our own lives, with our family, our spouse, our children, our people at work, people at school, in the community, because of the way that we view this, how life works. And it's so important because when we come to know Jesus Christ, we ask the big question, then how does Jesus deal with us? Mm. And how do I respond to Jesus dealing with me this way? And so yesterday we looked at two important characters that asked these big questions in the beginning of in the church. In around the 3rd, 4th century, they asked this question. There was a tension and an argument between Pelagian, who believed that we're responsible for our own salvation, in a nutshell, and Augustine was saying, no, it's Christ. It's the grace of Jesus Christ that actually does everything for our salvation. Mm. And now we're going 1,000 years into the future. This argument's still taking place, and there's a stronger view. In Europe, there's a strong view leaning towards the sovereignty of God. So when I say the sovereignty of God, I do mean sovereign as in like a king. When a king or a queen is sovereign, what they say goes. Mm. You know, if they say the color yellow is going to be the most important color in our kingdom from this day forward, the sovereignty that they hold, well, that's it, right? And so there's a strong leaning towards sovereignty. And Jacob Arminius, he went to the school and studied under this understanding. And one of his teachers actually had a part Pelagian understanding, right? He didn't fully submit to the whole Pelagian teaching.
All right.
Because that was the way they leaned. But there was something he said, no, because I believe that we have been affected by sin, that we do have a issue, that original sin is there.
Which was more the Augustine
correct
perspective. Yep.
So Arminian, he started thinking that way too. In his brilliant mind, he started articulating and started exploring these things. And then the church took issue to it, the church of the Reformed Church at the time. So they'd moved away from Catholicism. And they said, no, we can't accept this teaching. So this teaching came forward from John Calvin, and there's a acronym called TULIP. John Calvin is a huge, huge name in the movement of our church.
And has influenced many Protestant denominations.
Yeah, that's right. So he's put in a lot of great stuff for our church to work with in present time. Same with Arminius. But this acronym is called TULIP. Really good acronym to remember things. And for the listener, I'm sorry, I'm going to go through this. You don't have to remember this. And this is very, something is very different. I told Jason, I usually do this in a seminar setting, not on radio. So this is I'm giving it a shot. But TULIP is spelled TULIP. And so the acronym that they put out was for the church to understand and realize this is where we stand as far as our teachings are concerned. And they put it to a meeting. They call it a synod. And the synod accepted it and said, yes, this is our teaching. Anything against it is incorrect. And so TULIP, the T stands for total depravity. And total depravity means that we have no ability in choosing God ourselves. There is nothing in us that has it. We're so corrupted by sin that we're depraved of any ability to respond to the grace that Jesus Christ offers us. So the grace of Jesus Christ is sovereign. It cuts through your ability and is able to save you, right? The you.
So there's little of my free choice in that.
There's none of your free choice. You have no free choice in that. This next part will explain that a little bit better. The U stands for unconditional election.
Mm-hmm.
What that means is from the beginning of time, God had already made a decision who's going to be living for eternity and who's going to be damned to hell, right? So their understanding is from creation to now and to the future until Jesus returns, there are those that have already been elected to be part of those who are saved, and there are those who have no hope whatsoever.
It would make you wonder why then you would bother trying to share the message with people. But I know they have an answer for that, but I'm not sure what the answer is. But to me, it makes you wonder, well, if God's already chosen, why do we need to get involved?
Yeah, I think my question would be, how do I know if I'm part of that?
Yeah, and how do I know? How can I be sure
I'm part of the elect?
Mm.
The L is limited atonement. And I think that's related to the last two that we just said. Limited atonement means that the cross,
the atonement,
salvation is only for a limited number of people who are the elected. So they're the
special ones.
That's right. So they're the ones that have been chosen to be with Jesus forever. So the limited atonement means that when we look at Jesus on the cross, he didn't die for all. He only died for the elected.
Mm.
All right. And then the I, well, there isn't, it's TULIP.
TULIP, yeah, yes, TULIP. There is an I.
The I stands for irresistible grace.
Right.
You can probably guess what that means.
We can't choose.
Correct. When Jesus
it's grace that's been given to us that we can't refuse.
Correct. You got it. Yeah. So you can't knock it back.
Mm.
You know, like it's, you know, if there's a lifeboat coming through and you don't want to get on the lifeboat,
you're gonna get rescued.
Yeah. Yeah. So irresistible grace. That sounds great. I think, you know, like on the surface, it's like, wow, there's no way that I cannot be saved. You know, like it's all been set out for me. And the last P, what's that one? This is the perseverance of the saints. Perseverance of the Saints. Now, off the top of my head, I think I've got to come back to that. Right, okay. I'll come back to Perseverance of the Saints, because I remember getting pulled up for explaining it the way I did before, so I've got to get that right next time. But you can see throughout the whole of the Tulip, what's the overwhelming theme? What's the overwhelming thing that you can pick up from it?
The overwhelming theme that I'm getting is that we don't have much say in it.
Which means that we don't have
free will.
Free will, right? And so when Arminian, Tulip was created to counter Jacob Arminius's teachings.
Right.
So just from the Tulip, it kind of looks into the fact that Arminius was opposite to that.
Mm.
Right. However, you know, reading some of Arminius's things, he kind of believed that there was a bit of predeterminism involved as well.
Okay.
That God had set out a plan, but we have free will.
But we had choice in it.
Yeah, yeah. How do you wrestle with that?
Well, I think it's a bit like, I don't know, maybe have you ever had any superannuation that has got lost? Maybe you've been good. You know, people change jobs and change funds and superannuation gets sort of lost and you're not contributing anymore.
Yeah.
There's the ability to go and claim that superannuation and get it back into your account. But if you never claim it, it'll never be yours.
That's interesting. Okay. Yeah.
You get what I'm saying?
Yeah, I get what you're saying. I get what you're saying. So this is going to lend into where we're going to go tomorrow. So I'm going to give an example of my son. So we're Faith FM, for those who don't know, we are affiliated with the Seventh-day Adventist Church. I'm a pastor of the Seventh-day Adventist Church. Jason also works for and as a volunteer in the Seventh-day Adventist Church. And there is something that we are very, I'm going to say the word obsessed. I'm going to say passionate. Very passionate and enthusiastic about. And I can say from my heart, I know for Jason as well, that we're sold on this idea that God has been very specific in showing us what happens in the future. So much to the point that to Daniel and to others in the Bible, he gave them a prophecy that we spend a lot of time trying to understand, interpret what was God trying to tell them. And it helps us to see a bigger picture. But in teaching these things, my son, who was about 10 years old, I think he was 10 or 11 at the time, he started sharing his thoughts about some of these things that we're teaching in prophecy. And he started asking the question, "Dad, it seems like, from what I can see, that God's already planned this for the future."
Yeah, and I can see that. There's verses that says that he's the one that causes nations to rise and fall.
Correct.
So it is predetermined.
Yeah, and even Revelation.
Yeah.
It gives us an understanding of what will happen at the end of days, right?
So if prophecy is guaranteed to come true, do we have any choice in it?
Right. And so my 10-year-old, 11 at the time, he's asking that question.
Mm.
And I said, "Well, what do you think?" And as he's sharing, it slips from my mouth because I've studied these things. I say to him, "Oh, you're a Calvinist." And he said, "A what?" he doesn't know what I'm talking about. And so, you know, like my son, if anyone has a similar understanding, you know, I was coming from that view because Calvinism believed that everything was already planned out and people that are saved. I'm going to have a shot at trying to explain this perseverance of the saints.
Okay.
This is the best way I can put it. And I think this is what I got in trouble for. So I'm trying to say it another way, but I'm going to say it the same anyway. The perseverance of the saints is that God will ensure that those that have been elected will never fall away.
Mm.
So that no one can intervene, interrupt, or take away the life that they've got to be part of the plan of salvation.
And you can understand there are verses that seem to indicate that. John 10 says that those who the Father has given cannot be snatched away.
Yeah, yes, right? Yes, good point. I was about to ask you.
Yeah, yeah. What's John 10, verse 27, I think.
Right, and I think John 15:11 as well. is another one where it says, if I've chosen you, right? If I've chosen you, then, you know, like, wow, okay, I've been chosen. Even in Ephesians that we started the week with. So there's this understanding then that, these ones will never fall away. But what does that mean for those that haven't been elected?
Well, then perhaps they don't have a choice.
That's right. There's no need to preserve them, right? Their fate has already been sealed, right? So the perseverance of the saints is basically for the saints to be ensured. You're fine. You're going to be okay. There's no way you're going to lose this. And so we looked at a verse yesterday.
Yeah, in Philippians 2, verse 12 and 13, that has a contradictory perspective, seemingly, in the very adjacent verses.
Yeah, and so the thing I want to get into now, we'll look at two other verses, but I want to point out that the way that we see God and how he works or how he functions for us really determines how we read Bible verses. So we'll just read two Bible verses, and you'll see that wherever you sit, whether you think you're more of a Calvinist or more of an Arminianism person, you will hear something different from when we read these verses. So here's the first one. And this is a prayer I pray a lot, you know, especially when I'm feeling rejected and feeling like, man, I don't think Jesus loves me right now. I pray this prayer to be very specific. So if you read that.
It says, all that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never cast out.
Okay, that's in John 6, verse 37.
That almost reflects that same John 10:27 as well.
That's right. So is there any choice in that matter?
Yeah, well, it says the Father's given, so do we have a choice? Exactly.
Yeah. But,
and it seems to indicate that it's guaranteed. I will never cast out. So there's an absolute promise there.
Yeah. There's all the Father gives, but there's a that comes to me.
Yeah.
Am I able to make that choice to come to him, or am I pulled?
Yeah.
Okay, here's another one. Acts 13, verse 48.
It says, and when the Gentiles heard this, they began rejoicing and glorifying the word of the Lord, and as many as were appointed to eternal life believed.
Okay. So
appointed.
And many of them were appointed. Does that mean they were chosen? They were elected?
They're elected.
Yeah. Or does it mean that those who believed in the word of God?
Yeah.
Because maybe some of them didn't.
And did they get a choice in it?
Yeah, that's right. You know, is it a thing where they said, yes, I'll accept Jesus, and Jesus said, well, then enter into life? Or was it, wow, this is amazing. Okay, you've got it. You know, you didn't accept it, but you've got it now.
So,
go on.
We're going to have to wrap up, but what's the takeaway from today that you want people to, I mean, we've challenged people to think about it, how when they read these verses, the way they see God and see our salvation.
The big thing I really want to take from this is from the last couple of days, if you haven't heard it, please log into the app to have a listen, is to really be aware of why you think the way you do, why you've taken a particular view. And what I mean by that is if you were brought up with parents that were totally rule-based, perhaps you'll take it, that's influenced the way you see life, or they've gone the other way. They're just parents that just let you free and do whatever you like. And that's influenced the way you've seen it, and that's made you look at the Bible a certain way. But I want you to really, really put yourself into a situation where I want to let the Bible speak for itself, and I want to be invested in looking at the person of Jesus from an unbiased perspective. As hard as it is, that's what I really want to encourage. Yeah,
let it speak for itself rather than reading our own experiences.
Correct. Correct.
Yeah, sure. Our book offer's coming up, so stay tuned for that.
This program is made possible by the support of Adventist World Radio.
Hope for All the World, Big Answers to Big Questions by Beulah Galloway. Bible Answers, not Big Answers. Bible Answers to Big Questions. There is power in the Word of God. Sometimes we just need to let Scripture speak for itself. In this book, Hope for the World, Beulah Galloway presents Bible texts on God and His law, sin and salvation, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, and man's place and purpose in the world, arranged topically for your convenience. Text us in TEM83, that's TEM83 to 0488 880 891. That's TEM83. Text it into 0488 880 891. This is Aaron Schust with This Is What We Believe. May you encounter Jesus more today.
Christ, anointed one, light of the world, God's only Son. In the beginning was the Word. Emmanuel has come to live with us. Truly this man is the Son of God, who takes away the sins of the world. This man is the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world. And this is what we believe.
This program has been made possible by the support of Adventist World Radio.